There's a fire commission.
Let's turn this way. Yeah, it, you know, a honed in sense, you know.
Do you know where he's at?
Commissioner Leonard?
Garbage can away.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, that's sweet.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. I thought you were all suspiciously quiet in here. Thank you. That's very nice. Thank you.
Let's see if you can blow them out.
You know I can.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's very sweet.
All right. The Portland City Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams.
Here.
Leonard.
Here.
Saltzman. Sten.
Here.
Potter.
All right. Please call the item. Or Agenda. Please read the item. Sorry.
Item 1035. Develop options to provide affordable health care services to uninsured workers of city contractors.
Thank you, Carla, and members of the City Council. I just have a few introductory remarks, and then Kimberly will walk through the resolution, and then we have some invited testimony, and then we'll hear from folks that have signed up to testify. With this resolution tonight, if it's passed, it sets a process in motion. And the goal of this resolution is to develop options to provide affordable health care services to uninsured workers of city contractors. I think today's front page of the Oregonian couldn't have said it any better. It reports that almost 18% of Oregonians lacked health insurance last year, and we know that some of those people work for city contractors. Why we're doing this? Access to health care insurance has particular relevance to me personally, and it's an issue that I've repeatedly supported as a member of the City Council. As a young man, thinking that I was very healthy and trying to stretch the dollars as far as I could, I had an emergency health care issue, appendicitis, that led me into personal bankruptcy. And as a member of the City Council in the last 2.5 years, I've supported the Equal Benefits Ordinance that made a requirement that city contractors that provide spousal benefits had to provide those same benefits to domestic partners. And I voted against the contract for the seasonal park workers because it did not include any health care provisions for the city's seasonal health care workers. So through my own experience and through my work in the community, I've witnessed firsthand the devastating consequences of not having health insurance. And I hope that with this resolution that we will be able to manifest the ability to show that the City of Portland has the ability, using its buying power, to positively impact health care coverage for our own employees of the contractors that we do work with. This resolution affirms the commitment of our city to lead by example and act on our community's values, and it also confirms our support for wider efforts by the county, state, and federal government to provide universal health care. But we are not going to sit by anymore and simply wait for them to fix it for all of us. We see this as a complementary process, as a complementary effort to those county, state, and national efforts. Therefore, this solution proposed in this resolution is to see what's possible. There are many people to thank. This has been a two-year effort. Ever since Cherry Harris and I had breakfast with the Northwest Labor Council 2 years ago, where this issue was brought up, and Cherry said, "Why the heck don't you do something about health care?" And I said, "Well, let's try." The Metropolitan Alliance for the Common Good, that includes the faith leaders of Bethel Lutheran, St. Andrews, St. Charles, Christ the King, Immaculate Heart, Havura Shalom, United Methodist, Metanoia Peace Community, Redeemer Lutheran, St. Clair, St. Thomas, St. Ignatius, St. Philip Neri, and Sisters of the Holy Names, the leadership of the carpenters, laborers, millwrights, operating engineers, pile drivers, SEIU locals who have spoken up on this issue, and also the Black Parent Initiative, Central City Concern, Kol Shalom Community, Phoenix Rising, Recovery Association, and Rehoboth. Also, Andre Baugh of Group AGP Limited, Lillian Shirley and Vanetta of the County Health Department, Jim Van Dyke of the City Attorney's Office, my colleagues on my own staff, especially Terry Richardson, who for health reasons couldn't be here tonight, and also Kimberly Schneider, who has picked up his work in the last couple of weeks while he's been sick. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Kimberly to do an explanation of not only the resolution but the amendments, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. Thank you. And so I'm just going to do a quick overview of the resolution, the submitted amendments, and then I'll provide clarification to some questions that have been raised. So the Oregonian article points out the disconcerting trend towards higher uninsurance rates, even as our economy performed well. The Census Bureau attributed the growing uninsurance rates to the decline in employer-based coverage for workers and their families. In fact, full-time workers, not the unemployed, accounted for the most growth of uninsured adults. So as Commissioner Adams mentioned, this resolution will set a process in motion to provide health care options to workers of city contractors. The Purchasing Bureau will create an RFP for the health care consultant based on the scope of work, which you've seen in Exhibit A. The healthcare expert will help us to understand the problems using both quantitative and qualitative analysis. Mayor Potter and Commissioner Adams will concurrently nominate committee members made up of a group of diverse stakeholders to begin when we've engaged the consultant. The healthcare consultant and committee will evaluate alternatives and work to develop recommendations. These will be brought before council by March 1st, 2008, and we expect to be able to present an ordinance to council soon after. So as Commissioner Adams mentioned, I'd like to submit four amendments. I'll go through these really quickly. They're quite small. In the first, be it further resolved, we're going to ask that we replace the city with the Commissioner of Public Utilities will bring forward actions in the fall fall 07 budget monitoring process necessary to, and then it continues with hire a healthcare consultant. This will allow for clarity for the financial folk. Be it further resolved, after hire a healthcare consultant, parentheses, we will insert who shall have extensive relevant expertise. This helps to clarify the level of expert we intend to hire. In the second, be it further resolved, after the project committee, we will insert jointly, appointed by the mayor and the commissioner. And following the third, be it further resolved, paragraph, we'd like to add a paragraph that reads, and be it further resolved that a series of town hall meetings will be held following the assessment to allow for public input.
These amendments were done at the request of the Office of Management and Finance and the Mayor's Office.
Exactly.
Anything else?
I wanted to go over some questions that I've gotten and hopefully clarify a few things. So one question that we've been getting a lot is, who exactly will this resolution cover, for what time period, what's the size of the contract? And I want to be clear that these questions are for the committee, as the answer to them requires more information than they have, and we are not creating or implementing a policy today. We're setting a policy in process. Another question we've gotten a lot is, doesn't the prevailing wage requirement make this policy redundant? Will small businesses have to pay twice? The answer has two parts. The first is that for contracts of less than $750,000, which is the prevailing wage cutoff, the answer is no, prevailing wage requirements don't address those contracts. The second is that any proposed solution will take the prevailing wage into account. There's a possibility of using the cash in lieu of fringe benefits as an appropriate contribution into an insurance pool, or perhaps only contractors not paying prevailing wage would access the insurance benefits. In any case, prevailing wage will be considered when seeking a solution.
And it'll be up to the committee to consider that issue.
Right.
So those are the questions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we have some invited folks to testify. Cherry Harris from Operating Engineers, Local 701. Father Chuck Leanhart from St. Andrew's Catholic Church. Ed Blackburn from Central City Concern. Keith Edwards from IBEW. And Raymond Caballero, former mayor of El Paso, Texas.
Commissioner Adams, did you want to move your amendments before you begin the testimony?
Thank you.
I move the amendments.
Second.
Please call the roll on the amendments.
Adams?
Yes.
Leonard?
Aye.
Stinn?
Aye.
Well, Cherry, congratulations on getting us here this far.
It's been a long time coming.
Yes.
Good evening. I think you all know who I am, but I'll state my name for the record. My name is Cherry Harris with the Operating Engineers. I'm on staff with the Operating Engineers, Local 701, and I'm also a leader and a former co-chair with the Metropolitan Alliance for Common Good. This resolution commits the city to an important examination of best practices from around the country to address the healthcare needs of our citizens. We believe it's time for City Council to make sure it's not adding to the lack of healthcare access in our community, but instead is using our tax dollars in responsible ways and putting forth your best effort to find real solutions to a huge healthcare problem. You recently took up an issue that uses the city's power to encourage responsible investment in our energy resources. Because of your action, the city of Portland is the first in the nation to require that all diesel fuels sold within the city contain a minimum blend of 5% biodiesel, and all gasoline contain 10% ethanol. I'm sure when you were working through that process, you heard the argument from many that this won't solve the problem, or global warming is such a huge problem that this effort won't really have an impact in the larger scheme of things, so why bother? Let somebody else fix it. But you didn't go there. You chose to be part of the solution. That move took a lot of courage, and we applaud your bold move to confront an issue of national urgency, our energy independence, and creation of alternative fuel markets. With this resolution, we are asking you to take another bold step and join other cities across the country in looking for creative local solutions to this national healthcare crisis. About a year ago, my union, in partnership with other local unions, surveyed local construction workers to find out how many working construction people had health insurance. Here's what we found out. Union members all received comprehensive family health care benefits provided by their employers. For non-union workers, the picture was very different. Less than 2% received employer-provided family health benefits. About a third received employee-only coverage, but their family members were left wanting. While a few of the nearly two-thirds who lacked employer-provided coverage had insurance benefits through a spouse, most had no benefits at all and couldn't afford to purchase insurance benefits for themselves, let alone their families. In fact, one fellow we spoke with was embarrassed to tell us what he earned. And another one said, "Are you kidding? Health benefits? I make $8 an hour." While some of the job sites where our survey data was collected were private projects, many were PDC jobs and did not pay prevailing wages or fringe benefit dollars. All the listed companies on the survey were names that were readily recognized by City Bureau of Purchasing staff. In other words, every one of those contractors either have been or currently are active bidders on city projects. Besides collecting survey data from construction workers, we also talked to leaders in other Metropolitan Alliance for Common Good member institutions and discovered that everyone was deeply impacted by the number of uninsured in their churches, synagogues, and nonprofits. The front page of the Oregonian today, as you said, Commissioner Adams, reported that the percentage of Oregonians without health insurance now stands at nearly 18%, over 600,000 people. We researched options across the country over this two-year period and found successful models in Houston and San Francisco that both require health benefits for workers on publicly funded jobs and also create revenue for the public health system so people have access to basic health care. Leaders met with the directors of Multnomah County Health Department and found great interest in working together to find a model that works for Portland. There is no question that some contractors will have problems with this resolution and any ordinance that is proposed. We recognize that work needs to be done to improve the business landscape for small contractors. And I believe there are opportunities before us to do just that, like improving the sheltered market program, which many small contractors say doesn't work for them, or finding more creative ways to address bonding issues so that small contractors can bid on bigger jobs. But those issues need to be dealt with separately and should not muddy the waters on increasing healthcare access for the people who so desperately need and deserve it. We have been working from the beginning to ensure that this effort does not hinder small contractors' ability to work on city jobs. But as with any bold policy change that affects thousands of lives in Portland, it will take courage from you to stand up to the status quo and ensure that taxpayer money is invested in jobs with healthcare and healthcare services. I encourage you to support this resolution and its amendments and take a bold step of leadership to guide the process as we move forward to examine and recommend real solutions to a difficult and complex problem. Thank you.
Very well said. Thank you, Sharon. Everybody practice, no clapping, no clapping. Sorry for those of you that arrived late. We gave the exception for his birthday because he's so old. But other than that, to indicate support, you do the jazz hand thing, so.
I would also like to say I have some letters from a few of our signatory contractors who wanted to raise their opinion in support of this effort. They feel very strongly that this is the right move to make.
Thank you very much. Father.
My name is Chuck Leinert. I'm the pastor of St. Andrew's Catholic Church, which is a member of the Metropolitan Alliance for Common Good. Our core team, about 2 years ago, did a survey in our congregation and found that 30% of the people that attend the Spanish service are without any insurance at all, and 10% at the English service are without any health insurance. So it became a top priority of our parish. We, along with MACG, negotiated with Providence Hospital, and the whole organization decided not to do it, but our parish decided to accept their offer to give us a 4 slots a month in the Providence Health Clinic on Interstate. And so we have, people from our parish have worked, and particularly a couple of people have worked with those individuals that don't have insurance, and we've been able to get 30 people, just about roughly 30 people into that healthcare program. All of those people either work themselves or have a spouse who works, or the adult in their family, an adult in their family working, but are without insurance. We're just now ready to go to the wider community and provide that assistance with Providence to other individuals. So my concern, and I think the concern of our parish, has been basically for health care and the number of people that don't have it. We believe as a church, as I think most faith communities believe, that it's a fundamental right to have health care of every individual human being. But I know that that's not, it's going to be a long time probably before we have universal health coverage in this country. So I think initiatives like this that take a part of the problem, it's something that the city can use its resources to promote health care with the people that the contractors with the city, I think is a step in the right direction. Any way of using our tax dollars to give an incentive or assistance to contractors in getting insurance for their workers or providing broader health care for the general public, I think is a step in the right direction. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. I think your words and Cherry's are well spoken. That just add a little bit of dimension to it as well. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer newspaper recently did a four-part series on the working poor, and they looked at the local area up near Seattle compared to Portland, and they found that 9% of folks who worked in the Seattle area were working at working poor wages compared to 21% in our area. So there are differences between cities, and we have a real problem here, and I think you said it well. Ed.
Thank you for inviting me to speak tonight, Commissioner Adams. And I want to thank all the brothers and sisters in the MACG for all the hard work they've done to help co-create this resolution and get it here tonight. Central City Concern Board of Directors has endorsed Resolution H. Because of this lack of insurance and the crisis in our healthcare system has impacted Central City Concern in three major ways. The first is in our services. We run the Old Town Clinic on Northwest Burnside, where we see about 3,500 medical patients a year, probably another 2,000 in our alcohol and drug treatment and mental health services. Only collectively, in all three types of services, only about 35% are currently insured. So we're picking up at the safety net clinic, and we're not the only safety net clinic that's facing this problem. A lot of uninsured people. So the cost shift from the lack of coverage for a lot of uninsured people, including employed people who do not have health care coverage, are shifted to the safety net clinics. It's not that there's not a cost, but the cost is being shifted to those systems. It affects us also in two other ways in those services. We have people who have gained employment while in our services. They may be getting medical care for us. They may be, have a chronic medical condition. But they can't leave our services because the job they got does not have health insurance benefits. So they're going to lose their medications. They're going to lose their health care if they leave the clinic. We have another set of people who come in because they're sober, they're addicted and they need to get into sobriety. They have a chronic mental health condition. We have gotten them back on the road to recovery. They're ready to work, but they can't find a job with health benefits, so they stay in the clinic. And what this means is we reach a ceiling in our capacity, and because there's not enough employers out there providing health care coverage, we can't get more homeless people in the clinic who have no ability to work at that point. So it places a ceiling on the capacity of our services. The second dimension it hits us on is that as a nonprofit agency, we provide health care benefits to our workers. And we have seen a yearly increase in our health care premiums between 10 and 18% a year for several years now. It is really a financial backbreaking problem for us. This is not just affecting, obviously, Central City Concern, but the city of Portland, our school system, the county, other nonprofits in the area. And this is, it is known well in the research that a significant factor in the increase in these premiums is a cost shifting going on when other entities and institutions are picking up the cost of that uncompensated care. They're shifting it to health insurance programs. The third dimension that it hits us in is that we operate five business enterprises ourselves. And those business enterprises include a secondhand store, a maintenance program, a painting program, a janitorial program, and a clean and safe program. I should actually refer to them as businesses because they operate as businesses. And we employ almost exclusively formerly homeless people. They all have health benefits. We are bidding for jobs out in the community, some of them with city-related funds, some of them with Portland school-related funds, some of them with the Portland Business Alliance-related funds. And we believe we have not been competitive in some bids for some jobs because our health benefits that we pay our workers cost us out of the bid. We're not competitive. And we and our enterprises jointly employ about 40 people. We are a small business. We're committed to providing those health benefits to people, for our janitors, for our maintenance workers, for our painters. But we're going to have a hard time maintaining that in the future if we can't get work. We've struggled to make it work. We are making it work. But we believe there should be a level playing field. As much as possible, these problems for small business people, small contractors, need to be worked out. But we are one of them, and we endorse this resolution wholeheartedly. It's only by the pressure of cities and counties and unions and churches throughout this country, small businesses, contractors who see the light here, that we're going to ever going to get any kind of national health insurance that makes any sense. And I hope this is an important step on the West Coast for making this happen. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Thank you. Keith Edwards, IBEW, and the Honorable Raymond Caballero, is he here?
Commissioners, is it my turn?
It's just you.
Raymond Caballero, as you said, former mayor of El Paso, thank you for allowing me to come here and speak in behalf of items 1035 and 1036. I think it's a great idea to look into this issue of health coverage on city contracts. Some time back, I found myself as mayor in a city slightly different than Portland. Dreadful numbers. The number of uninsured in El Paso, the percentage approached 70%. Regrettably, it was the subject brought up in the national debate between Vice President Gore and then-candidate George W. Bush, where the city was mentioned as the place with the highest percentage of uninsured in the nation. Texas, of course, as you can see from this morning's Oregonian, if you can say, leads the nation in that statistic. Been there for a long time. El Paso, as you probably know, is on the border and has scarce resources. Nevertheless, I commend you in Portland for addressing the issue because your numbers are getting worse. What you have, you start out with a proposition, traditional and often by law, that you're required to award contracts to the firm submitting the lowest responsible bid. Now, what that does oftentimes, because health care is such an incredible expense item to any business, 15%, 20%, whatever it might be, few firms who ensure their employees can really compete in this bidding processes with firms that do not provide health coverage. So what we do is we simply follow this give it to the lowest bidder approach. What are we doing in government? We are exacerbating the problem. We are rewarding those firms that do not have the appropriate values of providing insurance to cover health, and we're punishing the firms with good values. And governmental contracts being such a large part of any economy, this has a very large impact in the area. It really makes no sense, even if you were a bitter miser and hated every penny you paid in taxes, you should be for governments providing or not mandating or at least evening the playing field, whatever the wise city attorney might propose, because it might not, you might not be able to mandate it, but certainly what you might be able to do under best value contracting, if it's permitted under state law, is at least to even the playing field and not punish certain employers. We did that. Now, I can tell you that I thought that's the end of my political career, and that's it. You know, it's a. And I can tell you that it didn't end for that reason. It may be for other reasons, but not that one. Because surprise, by talking to the chambers, Associated General Contractors, the Hispanic Chamber, people not often associated with coming up with, you know, benefits for employees, they really stepped up. Because you have to admit that it's terribly difficult, especially for small business, and now even for larger businesses, to obtain health insurance. I'm not sure if someone's wearing an affordable health insurance t-shirt here. I don't know that there is such a thing. That's an oxymoron, maybe. But it's all expensive. But the business community stepped up to try to create associations to help small business get coverage. There are a lot of factors and details. What is insurance? Is it faux insurance? Does it really cover? How many employees are you going to cover? What benefits do you cover? Families and partners and whatnot? You know, those are all the details. But as a starting point, I can tell you it's good politics. It's good public policy. It's good economics. Healthcare here is probably your largest industry. It depends on having a good number of people who are insured with appropriate rates of reimbursement to the healthcare providers. It makes sense on any basis to go forward. Thank you for allowing me to come here, and I commend you for at least looking into the issue.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Very well said.
Thank you.
Andre Baugh and Faye Birch, and our first one.
Ben Nelson.
Ben Nelson. And this is as long as they want. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. And you know how this goes.
Yeah. My name is Andre Baugh, and I'm with Group AGB. I'm also a member of NAMCO, and I live in Portland, Northeast Portland. Council, I want to take the time and thank you for bringing this forward. First, I want to state up front, I support healthcare. I don't think that there's anybody in this audience that does not support healthcare, and it is or is the most important issue facing the country. Facing the state and specifically the city. So just put that aside. So in terms of the healthcare issue before you today, I support that resolution. What I want to do is raise a couple of concerns that I have with the resolution and hope that you take these into consideration as you move forward. First, I want to limit and ask you to limit its scope to City of Portland residents and to family members of the contractors, that it is for, I mean, if the contractors are going to participate in this, that it is really for the contractor families, not for other members. There certainly is, and I'm not discounting that there's a issue of healthcare that is in this city, but it's the contractors that are going to have to pay for this at the end of the day, and it should just benefit their families. If we're talking about something else that goes to a larger, I think, you know, council would have to think about, do they want to get into the healthcare industry to serve all of their citizens? So I would ask that you limit that issue and scope it to just the contractors' families. The other part of that is that contractors today, as you all know, through the prevailing wage, pay their employees a fringe benefit, which theoretically, and I'm not saying that it covers, but it theoretically pays for health care. The idea that this would contribute to that or be part of that, that contractors don't end up with paying double, so that they pay just that. If they want to contribute, the employee wants to contribute, because you can't take that away from an employee as a contractor. The other side is that there are other initiatives within the state that are going on, specifically with at the state level, the governor. If for some reason there should be a universal health care package passed, and we can all debate its probability, but if for some reason it does pass, I would ask that, you know, whatever comes out of here is kind of sunsetted and we leverage whatever the state does. So that the state, the city's not competing, but the state, the city is leveraging what the state has, and I think you can get a better proposal out of that. And the last thing that I would ask is that as we go forth and this committee is that we've kind of rushed this particular proposal to council. I know there's resolution H, but this particular proposal didn't get a lot of airing, that the minorities and other people have equal representation to MACG and some of the other people out there, and that the healthcare industry is fully represented, so that we have a good group to really try to achieve this. And that I would ask council to get an interim report from the consultant as they go through this, so that you kind of know where we are halfway through or something like that, so that people have an opportunity to evaluate its progress, if it's moving forward, what are the issues, that you just don't wait to the end to say it didn't work or it's not working. Thank you. And I do support it. I just ask that you take into consideration those issues.
So I'm sorry, Andrew, you said include the healthcare industry in the discussions?
Yes.
Did you mean by that the insurance companies?
The insurance companies, because the idea is really, at least as I read this, is to provide options, you know. And so
what have they ever done to help find a solution to the health care crisis? Except, and I don't really want to hear.
No,
I want to have a discussion. I don't want to do that.
No.
But what have they done except when we've had proposals to reduce health care costs, put up misleading ads to kill them, to go out of their way to spend millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to keep the status quo because they make money on it? I mean, how can we earnestly accept the health care? Well, I don't mean the healthcare, and that's why I wanted to clarify the insurance.
I think there's two parts. There is, and I've done a little bit of investigation. You know, today, right now, the state, through some efforts of the legislature, the last legislature, has the, if you do not have prescription drugs insurance through Avell Gordley and some others, you can sign up for the Oregon Health Plan today. So the state is doing some things. Those, the kind of the backbone premise of those, as I understand it, is the reducing the cost for the hospitals and the healthcare industry. I would agree with you. They have not done anything to contribute to this conversation, but I think it's a fait accompli to say you're not going to, just because they haven't done it today. I happen to believe in the, you know, I don't know, the Colin Powell theory. You need to talk to your enemies too. And so they may be our enemy, but without them in this discussion, I think you're limited to your options.
Well, to just to take that one step further, your analogy, I actually think that applies very much to people who have earnest disagreements about their cultures and their boundaries, and I get that analogy. But this is about profits, and it just seems to, I mean, if you say healthcare industry and you meant by that the hospitals and doctors, I get that. You're right. But I'm just, you know, I don't want to make too big of a deal out of it, but I am a little nervous about having those that are actually profiting and benefiting from it a part of a conversation that it doesn't seem like they have any interest in resolving versus countries who are fighting who do have some interest in finding a solution.
I mean, I'll grant you that, but I think I would rather have them at the table than and at least be able to say, well, we did invite them. They may not have contributed. They may run ads or whatever, but at the end of the day, they can't say they weren't a participant. And that, to me, I think you're looking at also to try to leverage, you know, potentially what the state is doing or how do we tap into some of the state resources. And we're going to have not everybody at the table, but at least say we invited them in the door. And I'm just saying, make the invitation. Everybody has a choice to say no.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Faye.
Good evening. My name is Faye Birch, and I also live in Northeast Portland. I'm here today to represent a minority contracting organization called the National Association of Minority Contractors, NAMCO, of which I am vice president. Our organization is chartered by the National Association of Minority Contractors in Washington, D.C., The item we are discussing today unfairly targets contractors when many small business sectors have the same challenge of finding and maintaining quality health care. Our local chapter has 40 members. 10 of our members are signatory to unions, 3 to IBEW, 7 to carpenters and laborers. Several members are affiliated with AGC and ABC. So we're here today because you care about our health and the health of our workers, and you want to level the playing field from your view so that smaller non-union companies can't bid lower than union companies and thereby take the pressure off of your market recovery fund. Or put another way, you want an even larger share of the work. We think to keep things level and out of concern for our health, there are other issues you might address. You might address the fact that we get invited to bid or participate in 1 in 10 contract opportunities in our fields. If you cared about our health, you would be concerned that we don't always have work for our companies and our employees. If you cared about our health, you might address the fact that we pay more than twice as much for materials and supplies on the same project and from the same supplier. Our bonds and insurance are higher than majority or union firms because guess what? We don't have the years of experience due to historic exclusion practices by the trades. Bonding companies also read the papers and understand the market, and they know we may not be working tomorrow and that we may not be their best investment. So if you cared about our health, you might be concerned about the relationship between economics and healthcare. How you can only provide work to your employees for 3 to 6 months and go in and out of benefits or provide their health care for the months they are not working. If you cared about our health, we wouldn't have to beg and plead and go to meetings after meetings after meetings and downright demonstrate to participate on projects that you have purposely locked us out of, such as the South Waterfront. If you really cared about our health, you would help level the playing field. We would have steadier work and be able to provide quality benefits for ourselves and our employees. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Ben?
Good evening, Commissioner Adams, Commissioner Leonard, Commissioner Stan. It's a pleasure to be here. My name is Ben Nelson. I'm an organizer with Laborers International Union, a member of Laborers Local 483, and a co-chair with Metropolitan Alliance for Common Good. I want to thank you for your leadership on this issue. I would like to first say response to some concerns about small businesses. I'm hopeful through the process that and the committee and the consultant process between now and any type of an ordinance that we can sit down and resolve these issues to the benefit of small businesses. And while we maintain a focus on healthcare, which is why we started this, to try and deal with some of the healthcare concerns in our community. Having said that, I want to talk about some small amendments that we have. There's been about 9 or 10 different versions of this resolution over the course of the last year and a half. Crafting Resolution H has been mentioned. That was the previous version, but I think that makes 9 different letters in the alphabet. So there's been quite a few different versions. And this last one's been around for, just leading up to the hearing here in just a week or so. And over the course of the last couple of days, leadership and MACG has put together, and I have with me copies of some what we think are pretty small changes, but we're hoping that you can consider those here this evening.
You can just give them to Carla. Should I give them to us?
Okay. Is 3 enough?
I think
it looks
so.
Like it.
And we're a small but hearty group.
So I want to just take a brief minute or two to walk through these real quickly. The first changes in what we've done here, new stuff that's added would be highlighted and bolded, and anything that's we're proposing amended to be removed is crossed out. Just a handful of small things.
Copy to Kimberly as well.
Absolutely. The third whereas. We've added a sentence at the end, or added to the sentence, City and PDC are committed to protecting the health, safety, and welfare of the community. We have added by working with contractors who provide the best value at the least cost to the community. That's more of a value statement, I guess, than the whereas, something we feel is important. In the second, be it further resolved that, we're suggesting that the date be moved up a month. The process that's being proposed in this resolution has sort of a 3-step process. following passage tonight, moving into, as Kimberly had lined out, to moving into a hiring consultant and moving forward on that. And then, as proposed, February 1st, that consultant reports to the committee that's organized, and that committee has a month till March 1 to sort of make a decision. We're suggesting that maybe another month for that committee to hash things out might be helpful, given the complexity of it. The month of February is just 4 weeks. In the next, to be further resolved that, we're suggesting the following language. As you can see, the committee will evaluate the consultant's alternatives and work to develop recommendations. This is new stuff that both extend healthcare to employees and families of city contractors, and wherever possible, provide a broad impact on the uninsured residents of the city. And then the rest of it's basically unchanged. That's a reflection of the conversations we've been having over the last 2 years around what model would work, some ideas that work in other places in San Francisco and Houston, or a couple places we've turned to. Some of those ideas are pay-per-play models, and they involve a community component, which is a lot of what folks here have interest in, just keeping on the table as a value. And then finally, in that there's an Exhibit A that sort of lines out what the consultant would be doing. We include in there, that third paragraph, a mention of Houston, San Francisco to help point to the committee's work towards that. Some research has already been done, I guess is the thought, and we want to just remind folks to be using that as we go forward. And then at the very end, we're proposing a following amendment to the final sentence. Findings will be used to help the city of Portland decide which legal and regulatory reform option and mix of interventions will be most successful. The way it's currently worded, it says whether or not something of legal or regulatory reform option should be put forward. I guess we're suggesting that we've sort of all here because we know there is a concern and we should do something. So let's, that question seems sort of answered. Let's just put in the resolution which option or which direction should we go in from here? And that's sort of the work of the committee that doesn't have much time to, and the consultant don't have a whole lot of time to work with anyway, so we may as well start talking about what makes sense. So I'm here to offer those on behalf of our leadership as proposals for you all to discuss and make decisions around. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
So can I ask you about what you're, just so I'm clear on this proposal that you're making to amend Commissioner Adams' resolution? You're asking that the recommendations that this group is going to be developing include recommendations that may or may not extend health care coverage to residents of Portland that are not necessarily related to some employment with a contractor that has a contract with the city, but just the general population.
That's correct. Yeah, and the sort of the county has been discussed here before, and some ideas that have been tossed around involve the counties, the clinics they fund and run themselves, and the pay or play option that some cities employ involves either the play option is you provide health care, or the pay option is you provide some money into the fund. But then you got to distribute that fund somehow, and so that's one mechanism to do it. For example, San Francisco gives that to run their own hospital, city-run hospital, so they put the money there.
What we've discussed in our discussions, and this has been quite the negotiations among other community stakeholders, that we would first look at what are the opportunities for city contractor employees of our city contractors, and that we would look at the wider concentric circles after that. Given that this is a very short timeline between now and March, we have to go out and do bidding for a consultant and everything else, I'm not sure how far we're going to get, and it is not consistent with my conversations with other community stakeholders. But I do appreciate the suggestion. Thank you.
Thanks.
Carla, next three.
Next three are Nicole Crane, Mark Johnson, and Wayne Clark. They'll be followed by Kiva Southwell, Mike Waterfield, and Dr. Rachel Sorter-Taroff. That's Nicole Crane, Mark Johnson, and Wayne Clark. How about Kiva Southwell? Come on up. Thank you.
And while we're, is Keith Edwards here?
There he is.
Okay. So we'll feather you in next. You'll be the next. Thank you. Good evening. Welcome to the Portland City Council. Please state your name, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Good evening. My name is Mark Johnson. I'm 44 years old and have a wife and 5 children. I worked for a local non-union construction company for 15 years and had no health insurance that entire time. I realize that some of the non-union construction companies in the area do provide health insurance, but mine did not. Nearly 4 years ago, I went to work for Ostrander Rock and Construction and have been a member of the Operating Engineers Local 701 ever since. In December of 2006, my daughter, Elise Noelle, was born, and 3 weeks after that, I was diagnosed with a potentially life-threatening form of cancer. My union health insurance not only allowed me the superior care and treatment which ultimately saved my life, it also allowed my wife and I the peace of mind and the sanity to keep our family together through the emotional and financially stressful time. The bottom line is that I am alive as a result of the superior health insurance benefits provided by the union. And had it not been for those benefits, I most certainly would have lost my home, my vehicles, and all sense of security that my wife and children expect and deserve. In my honest opinion, health insurance should not be a privilege for only us fortunate few, but a necessity for every man, woman, and child. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good evening, Commissioners. My name is Wayne Clark. Thank you for having me here. The Community Health and Best Value Ordinance will help others like me, and thank you for letting me tell you what happened to me, because I have no health insurance, and I'm now working, but I'm a veteran who developed mental health issues and causes severe disabilities. I did get a little Social Security, but I had no mental health or physical benefits available through the Oregon Health Plan or the Veterans Administration. The Oregon Health Plan was not available to me, and I could go to the VA hospital for only emergency services, you know, but I didn't have full benefits, so I didn't get the benefits that would have been provided. I developed some addictions from some disabilities that I had, and I contracted something called MRSA, M-R-S-A. It's a resistant bacteria. It's a staph bacteria that's very common in hospitals. It nearly killed me. If it wasn't for Central City Concern at the time, I wouldn't have been able to recover from that at all. I didn't realize how contagious it was, and I was actually quarantined in my own apartment by the CDC because of it. It's actually like a flesh-eating bacteria. It's pretty nasty. But somehow I found Central City Concern and the community engagement program, and I got off the streets and into an apartment with the help of one of the veterans reps there, and I was glad to have that happen. I have to tell you that I almost died from that MRSA. It was debilitating enough for me to be in a wheelchair for some time. And several related cases of MRSA in this area caused the slow and painful deaths of a handful of people. It's actually made headlines a while back.
Please speak up.
Sorry about that. Everybody could get a little bit closer to the mics when you speak. If mm-hmm. I turn them up any higher, we get feedback.
That's what that was. Okay.
Thank you.
So if you could move even closer.
All right. Very good. Let's see. Where was I? Central City Concern referred me to their community health clinic and the naturopathic doctors. And basically, anyways, without their help, I would have been able to get back to work. The MRSA is gone right now, and my mental health symptoms have been managed by methods that I learned from my doctor, and I've recently earned my CDL. I'm back on my feet now, and on June 18th, I got the first job that I've been able to keep in 5 years, and right now I've been working 12-hour days. And I just want to say that every day that I wake up with new hope and ambition, you know, I've moved forward in my day, and my willingness to move forward in my life and help others is very strong, and I have goals, and they're reachable goals. If it weren't for the people at Central City Concern, I just know that I wouldn't have made it. You know, I'm a veteran with no health insurance, and I was homeless, addicted, and mentally ill and sick and dying, and they were there for me. I just want to thank them. Without them, I wouldn't have been able to make it.
Well, we're glad you're here, and thanks for your testimony.
Yep.
Good evening. I'm Kiva Southwell.
Can you get really close to the
really
mic?
Really close.
Really close, yeah. Otherwise, the folks upstairs can't hear.
Okay. In early 2005, I was hospitalized with a strep infection in my blood that caused heart failure. I was released from cardiac ICU 3 days later. The next day, actually like 12 hours later, I was readmitted through ER due to elevated liver and pancreas enzymes. All of these health issues were caused by severe alcoholism and malnutrition. Because I didn't have health insurance, alcohol and drug treatment wasn't even discussed. I didn't qualify for assistance because I was working full-time at that point. Consequently, my alcoholism and depression increased while my mental and physical faculties rapidly decreased. By early 2006, I was homeless, unemployable, and very ill. Now I was qualified to receive alcohol and drug treatment, thanks to Central City Concern. I received healthcare services and medications through Old Town Clinic. Given the opportunity to restore my health and finally receive treatment for depression and post-traumatic stress syndrome, I've been able to successfully sustain sobriety. Without programs like the Old Town Clinic, CCCRNC, the mentor program, I wouldn't be alive. It was a late stage chronic alcoholic at 22 years old. Excuse me. I'm now employed full-time at a local hospital and have great healthcare benefits as of last week. Up until then, I continued utilizing Old Town Clinic to treat a reoccurring infection, cause unknown because they couldn't afford testing to find out what it was. Yesterday, I got to see a real doctor with my brand new health insurance for this infection that's apparently back, and they are now testing me for leukemia and lymphoma. Had programs like Old Town Clinic had more funding and availability, they would have run those tests. They do the best job they can, but they need more help because everybody deserves the chance to do something with their lives.
Thank you for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Carla, the next three.
Next three are Mike Waterfield, Dr. Rachel Soto-Taroff,
and Keith Edwards. Welcome. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
If you could please give us your first and last name, and you'll have 3 minutes to provide your testimony. Keith.
Hi, Sam. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Thank you for having me here, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. Thank you, Commissioner Leonard. Thank you, Commissioner Stan, as well. My name is Keith Edwards. I'm an electrician. I started my electrical career back in 1969 when I was about 20 years old. I've had health care ever since. I've had health care since I was 20 for about 38 years now. That's something that I didn't really appreciate until a few years ago, but my children have always had health care as well. I've got 5 children, and they've had health care since they were born, and they've had health care through my coverage as a worker up until their age of emancipation or until they're 23 if they were in school. That doesn't seem like such a big thing, except that I worked for an employer when I first started out. I worked for an employer that had 2 employees, myself and one other journeyman. That's a small employer. I've also worked for employers that have had 200 employees, still had health.